Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been warm and it's been cold and, you know, don't like the weather, just hang out a few days, it'll change. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Hope you're finding time to get outside. You know, there's springtime is one of those opportunities. You're coming out of the wintertime and a lot of people don't like the winter. Don't get out and do a whole lot. But, you know, springtime's here and it's time to get out and move. We're actually going to help you find some things to do to get outside and move because we're going to talk to Mary Rowe from Palmetto Conservation about the Palmetto Trail, some of the things they've got going on that can get you involved and get you moving in the outdoors. We're also going to, you know, last Saturday, if you listened to the show, you heard us live from Gunnersville Lake in Gunnersville, Alabama, and it was cold. Got up Saturday morning. It was 22 degrees on the edge of the lake. The wind was blowing 15 miles an hour. And for those of you who've been out in the water, you know how cold it can get out there. Didn't go on a media boat, had one there, but I had Taylor with me and just wasn't ready for that kind of weather. So didn't get a chance to get out in the water, but it was nice being there. Hope you enjoyed that show. It's going to be some more of those coming up. And like I said, you'll just never know where you're going to see me or hear me coming from, and which makes this show even that much more fun. But yeah, we're going to talk to Brandon Cobb here shortly about his week in tournament there at Gunnersville with a sixth place finish. Gotta love it when South Carolina guys do well. Anthony Gagliardi started out great on Thursday, had 15 pounds, but he only weighed a couple of fish on Friday. And because of his check-in time, he was like one of the first ones to check in. We got to the weigh-in about 3:15, and he had already hit the road home for Columbia. So I talked to him a little bit on the phone. You know, it was not a horrible finish. Wasn't what he wanted. And, you know, he's just gonna have to work and keep those finishes coming all year long to make the cup in his backyard on Lake Murray. So that was last weekend. This is this weekend. Got a great show. Hope you'll listen in for the whole time. Want to get to the calendar of events, and as always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center. And this time of the year, you're starting to get into all the banquets for the different organizations, and this is just what happens. So the first we're going to get to is the Foothills Quality Deer Management Association is going to host an oyster roast on February 23rd, 7 to 9. It's going to be at the Fairway Ford Body Shop on Keith Drive in Greenville. Tickets $30 in advance, $50 at the door. You can go to QDMA's website, look for events in your area, pin it down by state. I know John Stillwell heads up this one. He works at Jinx Inc. Realty, and you could probably get a hold of him there. Tickets include steamed and fried oysters as well as non-seafood items, beer and wine and soft drinks. There's a five-gun raffle they got going on from Palmetto State Armory. And of course, there's always going to be other stuff. It's an opportunity to get out and socialize with other people who, you know, enjoy deer hunting, enjoy being outdoors, and just enjoy meeting other outdoorsmen. Quality Deer Management's not done yet. The Piedmont branch is going to have their sixth annual spring classic on March the 3rd. It's join us for a night of fun, food and fellowship at the Piedmont branch spring classic. There'll be a live and silent auction, games, raffles, and, you know, trips, hunts, prints. I don't have any more wall space. I'm not in the market for any prints. But that's March the 3rd. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7. It's at the Indigo Hall in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Tickets are $50 for singles, $75 for couple. If you want to sponsor it, it's $250. If you want to buy a table for 8, it's $500. Contact Bart Littlejohn, 864-585-0935. And this event is within QDMA Region 5, which is managed by Regional Director Rick Counts. And you can always get a hold of Rick, too. And then the National Wild Turkey Federation. I mean, it's a veritable list of where you would like to go to a National Wild Turkey Federation event and where you live. February 22nd, there's one in Greenville. That's the Greenville Wild Turkey SC. On the 24th, the Mac McEwen chapter in Sumter, South Carolina is having one. On February the 25th, Georgetown Five Rivers chapter is having one in Georgetown, South Carolina. And all the information there, you can go to the National Wild Turkey Federation website, plug in your state, events close to you. And of course, there you not only see the conservation banquets, but you also see all the other stuff, the rolling hunts they have going on for people in wheelchairs, which I have something to say about a little bit more later on the show. You have all their events going down at the headquarters there in Edgefield, and some of their shooting sports things and all. So that's a great website to go to find more information. For those of you guys that fish offshore, it's never too early to get ready, and it's never too early to get going in a tournament. The Lowcountry Open is going to be happening in Charleston, South Carolina, May 20th, 2017. They got offshore, nearshore, and inshore tournament, place you can fish. The organizers and committee members of the Lowcountry Open did not take the selection of our charity lightly. With so many of our board members directly connected to military services throughout the Lowcountry, we unanimously agreed the charitable proceeds needed to benefit veterans within our state and local communities. Palmetto Warrior Connection, being based in Charleston, with their assistance passing 95% of their charitable contributions through to veterans within South Carolina, our commitment was truly honored to select and associate ourselves with this cause. We hope our sponsors feel as equally honored to help make this event a success. So the Lowcountry Open will benefit Palmetto Warrior Connection. And I hope you guys out there that saltwater fish will get involved. We'll probably have some more information on this one as time gets closer. But you can check out the details of it at thelowcountryopen.com. Again, that's March 20, 2017. And that's the calendar for this week. It's not much every week. It's just a few things to get you started and get you out and going. But if you're driving around Greenville right now and looking for something to do, you can always go to the TD Center and check out the gun show today and tomorrow. Hang with us. We're going to be back on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. One of my New Year's intentions, and I got rid of resolutions because I break them way too often. So my New Year's intentions is to make it out to something, either the trail, cleanup, or one of the events at RJ Rockers for the Palmetto Conservation Org. Mary, I promise you I'm going to do that. But welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Y'all are busy in Columbia.
We are busy in Columbia planning things on the trail statewide. So we're real excited.
I get the nice newsletter you send me every month, and I it's got so much going on, and I've got to schedule something. But as you go through it, there is a lot going on. And one of the first things that I always look for is what's new on the trail. And the Austin Trailhead got a big upgrade.
Yes, it did. Yeah, we have had some really good movement on all, many of our trailheads. We've had some great corporate support. And so, you know, luckily, I think you and I spoke just right after the hurricane and some of our other, you know, natural disasters. And I have to tell you, the volunteers that have come out, we've cleaned up the trails. We have really almost reopened all the trails that were significantly damaged. And then, of course, you know, we had the fires in the upstate.
Yes.
So I can assure people looking to come out to the Palmetto Trail that you won't be turned away because of some of the natural disasters. We really have moved ahead and opened trailheads and opened trails again. So we're excited.
Yeah, I think last time we talked, Matthew had just come through, and Matthew was out walking one of the trails to see how much damage there. So we were like, Matthew is coming right after Matthew.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And so, you know, the Lowcountry, we had people come out you know, work on that trail, and everything's open down there, which is great. You know, we just came off of last weekend. We were down at the Francis Marion National Forest with a huge cleanup.
Right.
I think we had over 200 people out cleaning up not only our trail, but really helping that partnership open and clean some trails, too. So It's looking good. Right now, Roger, you can't complain about the weather, can we?
No, ma'am, we sure can't. Although I don't think winter is quite done with us, Mary.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
You know, South Carolina, we like to say if you don't like the weather, wait a couple of days, it'll change. And in fact, you know, back a few weeks ago, after we had the big snow here in the upstate, there was one of those, what they call memes, I guess, going around Facebook or social media. And it said, had a welcome to South Carolina sign and said where the possibility of getting frostbite and sunburn in the same week is very real.
Well, that's good. But, you know, for us, we hope, people just enjoy the trail.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful when it's snowing. So,
yes.
You know, it's 24/7. You can be out on that trail, okay?
That's it. That's it. Well, you've got something that's fairly big. It happens every year. It's the 2017 Palmetto Challenge, March 6th to the April 24th. Are you up for the challenge? Take us through and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I'm certainly up for the challenge because, I actually have a team of three that we'll be walking every day and hiking. This really came out of just the opportunity to engage not only our members but also the communities statewide for really a health and wellness campaign.
Okay.
We want people out there walking and hiking. And now you don't have to be on the Palmetto Trail to do this. This is really embracing just getting out, walking, your urban trails or your sidewalks or taking advantage of the Palmetto Trail. Maybe this jump starts you to think, hey, I've been wanting to, get on that trail. It's on my bucket list. Or just there's so many other smaller trails that people can, enjoy every day. So this is a health and wellness. We also do a bike component because, Roger, many of our trails are, bike friendly.
Sure.
Some like up at Cross State Park are really for those that are more seasoned mountain bikers, and the same goes to our trails at Poinsett State Park. But this is a fun event. It grows every year. I have to tell you, it gets a little competitive, a little challenging. but I welcome anybody to come
sure.
and challenge me. My name is called the Columbia Crusher. So come on.
Oh, wow. But you can assemble a team, two, three, four, hike and bike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hike and bike. And let me also tell you, if you're listening here and say, oh, it's too hard to get someone to join me. Hey, if you have a four-legged friend, that counts. So, get your dog and yourself out there. There's no excuse.
Yeah, I was just looking here. It said team registration is free. And, yes, a fleet-footed pooch can be half of a team.
Exactly. And, we do a very nice celebration after this. We host a party here at our office. We give away some really great prizes to the top three winners. And so it's fun and actually I'm going to make a note. Our Mass General store down here in Columbia got a team together, and a few of those people they came back and told us some of them lost 10 to 15 pounds as individuals. So let me tell you, it works, and it's a lot of fun.
That's exactly what I need, 10 to 15 pounds off.
Is that one of your New Year intentions?
Yes, it is one of my New Year intentions. The bad thing about it is that New Year's intentions comes about the previous 4 weeks before New Year's. It's not a problem until Thanksgiving,
Yeah,
and it takes me all year to get rid of it, and I'm right back where I began November of 2017,
Well, the Palmetto Challenge is one of those health and wellness opportunities that we really get behind here at Palmetto Conservation.
I was just looking, Mary, just as a rabbit trail off from what we're talking about, I was looking at the website events, and off to the side it says remember your trail etiquette.
That goes for obviously a number of situations. One, we hope you kind of deplug your electronics and so on, and you're not listening to music and blaring music. There's that component.
Okay.
We know you need cell phones. Sometimes people don't feel comfortable without it, but please don't go out and blare music. The other is obviously if you're out on the trail, if you do have a pet, it'd be nice if you picked up from your pet, or you know, obviously yield them off the trail.
Okay.
You know, the other is obviously if you're in a situation where there's bikes and hikers, you know how to properly inform and pass and yield and things of that nature.
Okay.
So, you know, the biggest one obviously is don't leave any trace that you've actually been there.
That's right.
That's the big one.
Yeah. Go in with more than, you know, come out with more than you went in.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another campaign that I don't know if you've seen yet, but for Valentine's Day, we have a fun campaign, you know. Buy, instead of something like flowers that come and go, you can buy a share on our Palmetto Trail here and have it for life. So,
oh, wow.
If you're thinking for something for your sweetheart, our trail will never go away, neither will the trees, the nature that you'll experience on there. So if you're thinking about a unique gift, you might buy a trail share this year.
There you go. Well,
yeah.
That's the Palmetto Challenge. Then
yep.
In April, you got the Palmetto Pride Partnership, which kicks off a month
right.
of cleanups.
The whole month of April, we've partnered with Palmetto Pride. They obviously are another great state organization. And so every week we'll choose a different area. We're still in the planning process.
All right.
But each area will have a focal point up in the upstate, here in the Midlands, and then the Lowcountry. And we will be going out and cleaning up parts of the trail. And so it's a big effort. We get a lot of good corporate support, and we get a lot of great work done. So, you know, it is again a campaign to bring awareness. Unfortunately, you know, don't litter while you're on the
right.
trail. Don't use the trail to dispose of your garbage and so on. And unfortunately, we still have sometimes in areas a mindset that you know they can use our trail or other trails for litter purposes, and that's sad. Okay. So we're out and we're making a difference, and that's part of our campaign for Earth Day. And we just do it on a bigger level. We do it all month.
Sure. How will you go about letting people know where these events are going to take place during April?
Probably in the next 10 days, I'll say safely, that'll be on our website.
Okay.
It'll list each place, and you can then sign up through us. There'll be a volunteer registration form, and you can just submit it, and it'll come right to our office, and then we'll follow up with you directly. But that'll be on our website in the next 10 days.
And something like this would qualify for community service for high schoolers?
Oh. Absolutely. We love getting colleges out and high school students out. Absolutely counts. And same with corporations who are very forward-thinking. This is a great community service for companies, too.
Very good. You still got the Palmetto Conservation Corps out along the trail. I see updates every once in a while. They're at a different section of the trail working. Where are they right now?
Right now, they're still in the let me tell you right now, I can tell you what's today? Today, the 9th? They're at Sassafras Mountain right now.
Very good.
And they'll be completing. We're about to start a new group of core members starting on the 20th.
Okay.
We're very proud of our first core. They, you know, have been in the upstate working very steadily with some of the fire concerns up there.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily the fire itself. It was actually the equipment that
sure.
they had to
oh,
use
yeah.
our trail to get to those places
right.
and so on. So I can tell you that they've worked hard and they've corrected those situations. Again, I think you and I mentioned they were first responders to Matthew and went down and helped clean up, and they were had a significant presence in the Lowcountry for over four weeks. So we were proud of that. And then they came back, and you know, they've been working in the upstate ever since and doing some terrific work. So we're very proud of this Corps. It's terrific for South Carolina.
Very good. Well, we can't end this without talking about RJ Rockers.
Yep. Well, RJ Rockers, and we're still making some great beer, the Palmetto Trail Pale Ale. We have currently on our website, if you go, we've got some upcoming events. We'll be there for Mardi Gras, celebrating the best Mardi Gras costume. And again, all these events, when you purchase a pint of Palmetto Trail Pale Ale at the brewery, a portion of those sales go directly back to us. And so come out. We love to see big crowds. We have a great contest, Roger, that I think you need to submit a limerick. We're having a limerick contest where the only criteria is you have to have in your limerick RJ Rockers and Palmetto Trail Pale Ale. And I have to tell you, we've gotten some really good limericks coming in. So we will announce that winner on the 15th of March, along with a big celebration up at RJ Rockers. So we have an event pretty much, I think, seems like every month.
We'll be celebrating
Craft Beer Week. We'll be celebrating National Beer Day. We even have something in the summer for you. It's called Wet Your Whistle, of course, when you want a cold drink. But we'll have a whistle contest, you know, not a whistle that you buy, but let's see who can really whistle.
Okay.
So we're trying to have a little fun with the beer. And, of course, RJ Rockers, they're a great, great partnership for us. And, you know, the funding coming back to us really goes right back to the trail itself. So
it's
a win-win. Yeah.
Very good. Well, now, will you be at CWE next weekend?
I certainly will be at CWE. Be there. We'll be on Marion Square. We have a booth there with lots of information, some great giveaways. And, again, we'll be supporting the Palmetto Trail Pale Ale. You can go on our website. You'll find out where it's on tap at some of the establishments right there in downtown, along with we are having a pub crawl on Saturday. So we have a full activity of events, not only at our booth, but then afterwards. So
very nice.
Visit our website. We've got lots of good things going on.
And that website for you, those of you who want to check it out, is palmettoconservation.org. And you can learn about the trail, Glendale Outdoor Leadership, Conservation Corps programs, events. Get involved, donate, where to buy hats, and everything else to do with the Palmetto Conservation Organization.
Absolutely. Well, Roger, you're always a great supporter. We appreciate being able to have a voice on your show.
Anytime, Mary, and I appreciate you being so willing to come on the show again and again.
All right. I hope to see you soon.
We'll do it, Mary. Take care of yourself, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye
Bye-bye.
Now.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Last weekend when I was in Gunnersville, Alabama, did my first live broadcast from down there. I had a ball, but I didn't have near as good a time as Brandon Cobb, who finished sixth. And I don't know. I've got to come up with a name for Brandon. He's either the creeper or something, because he just kind of creeps his way up the leaderboard every tournament I go to. But Brandon's with us. Brandon, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And, man, a great finish last Sunday.
Thanks, Roger. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show. And last week was an awesome week. And as far as creeping up the leaderboard, if I just quit having a bad first day, I wouldn't have to move up. But that seems to be my trademark, is don't do very well the first day and then recover the second.
Yeah. I mean, well, speaking of that, how many days did you practice? Did you get over to the Gunnersville to practice at all before official practice?
Yeah. I did. I actually had to go fish the Bassmaster Southern Open down in Florida. So
okay.
I went to Gunnersville for about one day.
Okay.
A day and a half, and then went on to Florida. So I got to see it a little bit in pre-practice, and it actually didn't change a whole lot between pre-practice and the tournament, but I didn't get that much time either in pre-practice.
Right.
So I found a couple places that ended up helping me out.
You know, you're exactly right. Which had a little over 11 pounds, 12 pounds on Thursday.
I think I had 12 and a half pounds, something like that. Not very much.
Did you? Okay. But the place you caught the 12, and you told me you ran all over the place. So you might not have been in the same place, but either, and I guess you were throwing the same rattling vibe that you threw all weekend long. But did you go back to the same, were those same places where you caught the fish, or did you have to find totally different places?
Well, actually what happened, I had the, after practice, after official practice, I had a few places, just offshore places where I thought I could catch fish and they would be good fish, but I didn't know if I could get a limit off of them.
Okay. All right.
I thought I might catch two or three real big ones.
Okay.
And I had one place way, way up the lake that was kind of a smaller back of creek type place. And I went there the last day of practice and could catch one every single cast. But they weren't but 2.5 to 3 pounders. But
right.
I was like, well, that's okay. It's an easy limit. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And that's, I got hung up there the first day of the tournament because I went to it. And it was a backwater type area, and I didn't think the fish would leave, and I just couldn't find them again. They weren't where I thought they'd be, and I spent way too long there and started running down, fishing some of my offshore grass type places, and they were a lot better than I thought they were, because I ended up catching 12, 10 in an hour and a half.
Okay. Wow.
And then just pretty much the last 3 days, I knew how many fish were on my grass type places, and I just started running them as fast as I could and didn't really, I think a lot of people had schools of fish, like they kind of knew where they were going to pull up and catch one.
Okay.
And I didn't really have that. I had, I think, good areas, but I didn't know exactly which cast was going to catch one. So I would pull up maybe 100 yards before
okay.
a place where I had caught some and then fish 100 yards past it. And generally, I would catch one in the same area.
Gotcha. Hey, you, somebody was telling me that the eelgrass is new to Guntersville.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of like previous knowledge on Guntersville. I think actually this was the first time I'd been since I think in about 2008 I went for a college tournament.
Okay.
And in 2008 there was no eelgrass.
Okay.
And now it's starting to be a ton.
I know you're not a biologist, an aquatic biologist or anything, but tell us a little bit about what is eelgrass?
Eelgrass is the best way to describe it, it actually looks like a blade of grass. Like
okay.
a lot of aquatic vegetation, you know, kind of has a different, like maybe like a vine with little leaves look or something different.
Okay.
Eelgrass actually looks like a strand of like field grass that grows up. And it's got some little curly cues in it. That's kind of a good telltale of eelgrass. In the spring, it starts getting little curly strings on it.
Okay.
And it grows, it was growing a little deeper than the other grasses out there. I believe that's why the fish were using it. It would grow out to about 8 foot of water.
Okay. All right. And that's set up perfect for a lipless crankbait.
It did. It did. Eelgrass is a little bit of a pain to fish with a lipless crankbait because if you run into a clump, I mean, it fouls up. I mean, you're fighting grass all day.
Well, that's any kind
and
of grass.
And it made it a little difficult to fish. But one area I had that was a school of fish, it was extremely tall eelgrass. I mean, it probably came within 1.5, 2 foot of the top.
Oh, wow.
So I had to really burn that rattle trap. And if I ran to a clump, my cast was pretty much done.
You know,
it made it difficult.
You threw that lipless, at least the one I saw, that in that reddish crayfish pattern. And if you've ever, and I've never done this because I never caught enough bass on one single lure to actually see this, but that thing was pretty messed up by the end of Sunday.
It was, yeah, the paint, it was a completely red rattle trap. Now it's red with white rings all the way around it and scratches. That's when they get good, but this one, I don't want to lose it, so I've retired it.
Oh, okay.
I hung it on the trophy rack with my trophy. Every trophy I get, I usually hang the lure I catch them on with it.
I gotcha. Well, you know, you started off in the hole on Thursday, 17 pounds on Friday. You had one nice fish. Did we ever figure out how much that one was? 6 pounds or so?
I never weighed it. I figured it was somewhere 6.5 to 7.5.
Okay.
And it was actually the first fish I caught of the morning on that day. So, and it took me about 3 hours to catch another one. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, great. I'm going to have one 7-pounder to weigh in. But I finally managed to run into a few more.
And then Saturday, you had 17 pounds. And
I did, yeah. I think I had 17.10 Friday, yep. And 18.5 Saturday.
Okay, so it was 18 on Saturday. And you told me, and I was there. I got there late Friday afternoon, and got to talk to you a little bit Friday after you weighed in and all. And then I was there Saturday, and got to talk to you. I wasn't able to stay through Sunday, and I really wish I had of now. You know, you told me every day, you know, I can go out and catch 14, 15 pounds. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get that one big fish on any given day. but it seemed like you always got that one big fish. Now, I don't know about Sunday. What happened Sunday?
Sunday was actually kind of a grind. I think I messed up my rotation a little bit Sunday. I had one little area way up the lake. It was just a point of that eelgrass that was my most consistent place. I could catch a limit there every day, and they weren't giant fish, but they were usually, like, on average, 3-pounders.
Oh, wow.
And instead of – I had been hitting a bunch of places and working my way to it. Well, Sunday I decided to go straight to it, and they just weren't biting that well. I don't know if I just depleted it or if it was an afternoon-type place, and I only caught two fish on it. And I actually only had those two fish pretty much all day.
Oh, wow.
And at 2:55, I had to be back at 3:30. I had one spot that I had mapped was 9 minutes from the ramp. I pulled up on it at 2:55 and ended up culling up the 16 pounds that Sunday. So Sunday was a rough day, but I wish I'd gave that last spot a little more time because I was catching one about every other cast for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, man. What's it like to start out in a hole mentally? Come back. I mean, when do you start having hope that I may have figured this thing out and you know, I could squeak in there and fish Championship Sunday? When does that happen for you?
Yeah, the nice thing about Friday was I caught that one big fish. And
right.
You catch that first big one and you're like, well, even if it's a tough day, if I can just grind out a limit, if I can catch four more fish, I've got this 7-pounder, you know.
Right.
And I got half or at least a third of the weight I need.
Right.
So that definitely boosts your morale a little bit. And the other thing about the tour that a lot of people don't think about, yeah, you want to make that top 20 cut, but you know, the goal is to make the cut.
Right.
So even if I just fished as hard as I could the whole time, because even if I didn't make the cut, the 80th place finishes versus 120th is a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
As far as points go. So you pretty much, regardless, I don't care if you're in last place, you're grinding out every fish you can catch just because those extra 40 points could be the difference at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that's what, points, when you talk point systems and all, you're normally talking NASCAR, which most people know. But in both FLW and BSS, you're actually fishing each tournament. Yeah, you want to win every tournament, but you got your eyes set on August, the Cup, Columbia.
That's right. Yeah, the cup's the biggest deal to make, and especially this year with being on Murray's and everything. I just want to make sure I have consistent finishes throughout the year, even if and get every point I can out of every tournament.
You know, a lot of people I've talked to have talked about Guntersville and how it's not as good now as it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago. But I mean, I don't know what it was like 10 years ago. I don't know what it was like 5 years ago. But you know, Mark Rose had some 20-pound bags. And you had 18. I mean, what do you think about Guntersville?
Well, I don't have a lot of past knowledge to see it when it was at its prime. But the fishing are still, I mean, if you catch three fish, chances are one of those three is going to be a 3 to 7-pound fish.
Okay.
The average size fish is a good fish, you know.
Okay.
And it's definitely, I don't think it's what it was because this tournament, years ago would have taken, I mean, the whole top 10 would have had 20 pounds of that.
Right. Okay.
And it's definitely not what it was, but still a good lake. And I actually don't think that the lake is struggling. I don't think there's less fish.
Right.
I think that new development of eelgrass is causing the fish to scatter.
Okay.
Because pretty much used to, there's only hydrilla.
Right.
It was
on
the tops of the bars and shallow water. Well, now I was telling somebody, I believe if you drain Guntersville right now, pretty much, once you come out of the main river bar, there's eelgrass from the river channel to the bank.
Oh, wow.
So that gives those fish a ton of places to scatter out, basically. Rather, they're being, there's probably 50% more water for the fish to hide in versus what it used to be.
So people are going to have to adjust how they fish Guntersville then.
That's right. Yeah, I think a lot of places that were historically like good places, they may still be good, but those thousands of fish that used to use that place. Now, some use it, some use one a little farther out. There's just so much more grass.
Wow. Well, I mean, congratulations. What a great start to the year.
It was a great start. And I appreciate you coming out there and getting some pictures.
I haven't, you know, I've got them and I haven't really even looked at them. I came back to a whirlwind and it's still going on today. And, probably won't last. It will end sometime in May. But hopefully between in the next few days, I'll get a chance to get some of those pictures and get them up, and I'll send you a few when I do. But I mean, you know, you get home for a few days, take a deep breath, you head out in the morning for,
Lake Travis,
in Texas. You know, I was standing around the weigh-in line Saturday listening to Bill Taylor talk just a minute, and he said it forecast of 70 degrees, 75 degrees. And one thing he said that struck me was that he thinks it's going to get warm too fast for you guys.
That's right. Yeah, the fish, no matter how warm it is, the fish, they definitely pay attention to the warming trends, but they're on seasonal patterns too. And it's going to be warm like March, but fish probably won't be quite to that stage to be in March. And I actually just looked, the tour's coming, so we're bringing a cold front with us. it's going to be cold Monday and Tuesday and raining. So we'll have a little cold weather, but I think the fish will still kind of be in the pre-spawn out deep patterns. And Lake Travis actually was down 55 feet 2 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
So it's, I have no knowledge of Lake Travis, but
okay,
just knowing the way our lakes around here work, there's probably a bunch of shoreline growth.
Oh, yeah.
That grew when the lake was down. So a lot of that will probably be in the play. And I think Lake Travis just has a lot of rock, and fish is kind of deep in general too. So some fish will still be offshore, I'm sure.
Well, at least we won't be idling through all those trees we were last year on at the TTBC.
That's right. Yeah, Texas lakes tend to be kind of treacherous. But I don't think Travis will be like that. It's a deep lake.
So. Okay. Very good. Well, look, you know, we mentioned it. The cup is on Murray in August. You know, August in Columbia is just going to be brutal again. How do you think, and you know, last time it was here, there was a lot of fish caught shallow up those rivers, and there were fish caught deep out around the dam. I mean, is all that going to be in play again come August?
It will. Murray's a very tough lake to fish, but it has a lot of different things you can do. The rivers always play, but they can be hard to find. But when you find them, it's really good. And the fish school a lot, but that's the problem with August is a lot of fish, they're feeding. I mean, it's hot. They got to eat.
Right.
But they're schooling over. They're not relating to anything.
Okay.
Like a school of 3 and 4 pounders may come up schooling on top, but if you're not near them, you're not going to catch them.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what makes it so tough.
Yeah, that was, you know, Anthony was down there around the dam and the yacht basin, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but those fish came up, you know, and sometimes he was in range and sometimes he wasn't. And trust me, I've sat there and watched Matt, Anthony, and Wesley Strader in a little patch of water. You know, those schooling fish would come up and nobody'd be close to him, you know? I'm like,
that's right.
Fishing those schooling fish is got to be one of the most frustrating types of fishing there is.
It is, and I tend to avoid that type of fishing. I'm more of a shallow water, but a lot of times shallow Murray that time of year, you might only catch or get 5 or 6, maybe even less bites a day, but a lot of times 3 fish up shallow could weigh more than 5 of those schooling fish. I mean, you can catch some, even though it's tough, you can catch some very big fish up shallow. So I tend to grind it out shallow over there, and that's one of my favorite times of the year to fish there. From my track record, you can see I like grinding type tournaments.
Yes.
Like Gunnersville, I was actually proud of myself last week because I usually don't catch big bags, but I always catch solid bags no matter how tough it is.
Sure.
So, and Murray's going to be a grind type tournament, just like any cup. I mean, a cup in August, there's not a lake in the South in August that doesn't have grass that's easy to fish.
Sure. Well, look, my friend, I had fun being there. I sure wish I could have been there Sunday, but I had to get back. You be careful driving out to Travis, and I'll be, you know, folks, if you're listening, your practice starts this weekend. The cup, the tournament will actually take place starting next Thursday. You can keep up with it on flwfishing.com, and I'll talk to you when you get back.
Yeah, sounds good, and I'll try to do some practice reports, maybe a couple of videos if I can get them up.
Sure.
My practice is going and everything, so follow my Facebook page and Instagram and try to get some live updates.
Very good, Brandon. Take care of yourself, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Yes,
thanks,
sir,
for having me on.
You're welcome, buddy.
Those were times. Yeah, those were good times that we shared. We thought those nights would never end.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, bringing you back in with a little Lou Graham and Foreigner. By far, he's the best lead singer they ever had. You have good guests. You just keep talking and you keep listening, and then I don't have time to get to what I need to get to that I think is important. But we'll do that. I've yet to give a recap of the high school bass class. And I'm going to get to that because it one of these days. You know, I mentioned earlier in the show about National Wild Turkey Federation, and they do some wheeling sportsman hunts. I know they're taking 18 or 20 people on turkey hunts this year who are in wheelchairs. And I don't know, some of you may know this, some of you might not. I have a niece who was paralyzed in a traffic accident way back when. And she found high school basketball, wheelchair basketball. And she played for years for the Charlotte Rolling Bobcats. And they drove from Greenville to Charlotte to practice and then all over the place for tournaments. And it was really, that was her thing, was basketball. You know, she graduated high school. She went to the University of Alabama. She played for the University of Alabama wheelchair basketball team. They call it adaptive sports. And, she had a chance to go to Australia to play in a tournament. They went all over the United States to Colorado, to Illinois, to just all over. And of course, Alabama won a couple of championships in football. They also won a couple of championships in women's wheelchair basketball. And I was talking to my niece, we're texting the other day. She was telling me about one of her patients. She is now a child life specialist at the hospital system here in Greenville. And she was telling me that one of her patients was going on a National Wild Turkey Federation turkey hunt. And she thought it was just great. And I did too. And I'm going to get a hold of the National Wild Turkey Federation and see if we can't find a way to get one of those hunters to come on the show and talk about what it means to have an opportunity like this. But I was, I forget what I was doing, and there's a GoFundMe out there, and I don't put much stock in GoFundMe because people want you to GoFundMe to fish their own bass tournament. Well, you go raise your own money. Don't ask your friends for it, you know, that sort of thing. But this one I believe in. And it's simply this. It is Greenville, you know, Charlotte, back when Lindsay was coming along, Charlotte was the closest wheelchair basketball team for, you know, pretty much the whole age group from elementary school, middle school, high school. Anybody that wanted to play wheelchair basketball, there was a team in Atlanta and a team in Charlotte. Well, I don't know if Lindsay's directly involved with this, but they are trying to start a Roland Greenville Sport, basketball team. They are looking for donations. These adaptive wheelchairs are not cheap. I think they're somewhere around $2,000 a piece. At least that's what it was when actually my brother and I did a benefit concert. We actually did two or three of them for different things, but, back when Lindsay needed hers about 10 years ago, it was $2,000. I'm sure they've gone up by now, but they're special wheelchairs, slanted wheels, not straight up and down. They're, and they enable kids to play basketball. And so it's one that I got behind. I've donated to it. I know some of my friends have donated to it, but I would encourage you, to go to the GoFundMe account, look for the Roland Greenville Sports Wheelchairs GoFundMe and make a contribution because it is, it's amazing to see these, you know, catastrophic events in a life. They find something like this. It gives them an outlet. They feel like they're participating again, and it's a great thing. So I would encourage you. I don't ask for you to go donate to much or get behind a cause very often, but this is one I believe in because I've seen it with my own eyes, the difference it makes, the friendships she's made through this that are still around today. And she's back involved in wheelchair basketball. She's working at Greenville Hospital System with kids who went through catastrophic events just like she did. And I would. Woods and Water, South Carolina, I would like to ask you to get behind this and go donate, and get these kids some wheelchairs so they can play some basketball. And then go watch a basketball game because this is a different experience. You know, the smell of burnt rubber and metal shavings. Cause it's not a hands-off sport. Let me tell you what. It's a bumping chairs and they'll turn each other over but it's good. It's a great cause and I would like for you to get behind and support this as you can. And which leaves me with about 2 minutes to go in another show. and nothing I have here is really quick. So I'm kind of struggling here. Oh, well, I guess we can get through this one rather quickly. If you didn't know about it, there was a House bill introduced by Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah, H.R. 621, that took a list of 3.3 million acres of land that had been identified back in the Clinton era as land that could be sold off or gotten rid of off the federal registry for various and sundry reasons. And whether you think it's right for the federal government to own or not, we had a real example of representative government take place. He introduced this on maybe a Thursday or Friday. The word went out through Backcountry Hikers and Anglers, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, a number of other organizations put out calls to memberships. They did on social media, email blasts, saying, look, we don't want any of our federal land, because it's our land, to get sold off. And along about Tuesday, there was so much interest, Chaffetz came on, said, I am a hunter, avid gun owner. I did not know how people felt, but you've made your feelings felt, and I've withdrawn the bill. So, you know, and it's amazing that, you know, whether you were for Trump or against Trump, we all agree on some things, and the treasure of our public lands is one of those things we can all get behind and support. See? Made that short enough, even though it's a two-page article. I didn't even get to the article. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I did. Look forward to being back again next weekend, and I hope you'll tune in too. In the meantime, make time to get outside, take some back roads to get there. Never forget that camera. I'll see you next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.